Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Adaptive Alphas Podcast, Episode 1. I'm Josh Berkman, and I'm joined by, as always, Josh Sanchez.
Josh Sanchez, a.k.a. the Wellness Warrior.
Yes, sir. How are you, man? What's been going on?
Hey, man, I'm good. Life is good. As far as what's going on in the climate outside of my life, I just try to take everything day by day. Super present. Something that I really love that works for me is, are you familiar with Trevor Moad? He came out with those books, It Takes What It Takes.
You know I don't know these things.
Well, R.I.P.
Trevor what?
His name's Trevor Moad. So okay. He was the main sports psychologist coach for Russell Wilson, the NFL quarterback. Yeah. And he passed away, so RIP to Trevor Moad, but his teachings and his lesson, his stuff is just, it's powerful. So one of the things he talks about is just focus on what's next. Don't look too far in the future. Definitely don't focus on the past. Just what do you have to do today? What's your plan? Execute on that plan and just take it one step at a time. That way things don't become too overwhelming, because I do find myself, going from existential crisis thoughts of World War III and
Who doesn't right now, right?
Right. And
Armageddon is here.
Food scarcity and how am I going to protect my family and buying all the bullets. So
right. Besides all that, I had a buddy, Jackson Broman. He played in the NBA. He's passed away now, but he had a trainer that always said, Jackson, you just got to make the main thing the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so simple, but it was like, now, don't be everywhere else. The main thing is practice hard and play basketball, and it's the same thing. You also Native Fit. What happened with that?
I'm learning all about global trade right now. And supply chain issues and how much China has the United States by the balls. That's what I 100%.
Right.
Yeah, everything comes out of China. So when they shut down, when they have delays, we all have delays. When it comes to consumer packaged goods, when it comes to really anything that we need, everything's made in China.
Right.
So they've shut down about a month earlier than usual, which for me is just another sign to flex. Right. Why wouldn't they flex on us?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
They're in a position to do that right now.
So right now it's Chinese New Year's. Historically, Chinese New Year's has been in the middle of February. They have been celebrating it since the second week of January. So instead of shutting down factories in February, they shut down in January. So now we got to wait until the end of February to put any product orders or put anything in. So NativeFit's going good as it can go. I did get a sample, recently, and I still got to get you on that sample before we put in that final PO. But
The supply chain is interesting, right? You're dealing with it in your business and trying to launch your product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also as simple as I get coffee and they don't even have the thing that goes on the coffee cup, the sleeve.
Right.
I'm like, where are the sleeves? Like, we haven't got any in. They don't come in. We did the same thing. I wanted a bunch of egg bites. And they're like, oh, we're out of those egg bites. They're not coming in for another month. I'm like,
do they come from China too?
Who knows? But it's just crazy to in a big picture, it's affecting everything.
Everything.
But we'll get into that stuff later, right?
Right.
So main thing's the main thing.
Main thing.
We opened the gym this last month.
Yep. Congratulations, the Wellness Center. It's coming together. Man, you put a lot of work into it. I wish we would have had a before and after of this place.
Right.
This is the studio in the back of the Wellness Center, the podcast studio. But, man, the front room, the basement, there was so much that had to be done.
Yeah.
And that front space looks like it's been a martial arts studio forever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when a few of our students, I would do privates, and one of the first things one of the dads said was, man, you guys took on a lot. And I was like, we did take on a lot. And he's like, this is a labor of love, And so me and Emma's my wife, and we've been able to really get in here together and take care of it and paint it. And it was like, oh, well, hope people show up now, And we've got such a great group and community starting to show up, with you included.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man, it's been fun.
With the main thing being the main thing, it's easy for me to see outside everything because I got very focused on the dojo.
So 100%. And people don't realize the back of our relationship or how when we originally met. And it was one of my – I stepped in as a partner and CEO for a health coaching company. And one of my coaches was coming to your Budokan mobility class.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
And I saw him, and I was getting into animal flow. So I don't even know if you know this.
Yeah, I remember it.
And at this time when I finally came around to a class – I had stepped away from that company, but I was like, hey, Jordan is his name. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? What is that?
He's right.
Like, it's Budokan. And he's like,
yeah.
And he didn't even talk too much about you either. And then I show up and I do a class and I see you in the first class. I'm like, you look familiar, but I didn't actually know who you were.
Right.
I didn't have a lot of background on who you were originally. So I kept going. And then you're posting some fighting stuff on your social media. And I was like, shit, this is Josh Berkman, the UFC.
Right.
I was like, and then that kind of brought it in. But I'm saying all that because that's how we originally met. And I'll just come into your classes. So, you know, I've always had a ton of respect for your teaching style and I have had a ton of respect for breath work. And that was one of the things that I really resonated was like you were so in tune with breath.
Yeah.
You know, and how you're breathing and ensuring that as you're moving and flowing, you're breathing, inhale, exhale, and doing all that. And I'm sure that most instructors do that, and I'm not sure, maybe that's a question I need to ask you, but I just fell in love with Budokan.
Yeah. So to what you're saying with like yoga, right? Yoga's like one of the pillars of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We do yoga, we do mobility and movement, mm-hmm. and then we do grappling and striking.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga is the easiest form of movement, but you're a really good mover, and so you probably need a little more. It's you're on a mat, you're in this fixed space, and you only can move certain ways. It's very linear.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the mobility, it's like yoga without a mat, and now you start really opening up the body, the shoulders, the hips, and you know, like you need that opening to really open the mind. And the more that we hold emotion and that we hold anxiety or power or whatever it is, the more, the deeper breaths we need. And yoga is a very, it's a shallow breathing exercise,
mm-hmm.
at least for a martial artist.
Right.
You know, and so I think that, you know, my first opening to breath work was by Hicks and Gracie sitting in a river in the winter. And I saw Hicks and Gracie sitting there in this river, snow all around him, and steam was coming off him. And he sat there for 10 minutes. And I was like, I want to do that. And that was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always have researched breath ever since martial arts. One of the biggest reasons was I wanted to use it to create my life and to use it in sports performance. But then it was like, oh, there's a lot of nerves and anxiousness leading up to these fights. And I want to be able to calm that so that my mind can be clear. And then I've had to use it for healing and all kinds of things. And so at the dojo, we really use all these different forms and modalities of movement to really just teach people about breath and posture.
100%.
You know, and that's really what it's about. You know, is you know, if we have good fluid breath and we have really good posture, it's really hard not to be a happy human being.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I go through struggle, I can get back to that place of happiness because of coherent breath and constant moments of joy and happiness.
That's beautiful. I didn't know that. That's an awesome story. And Hicks and Gracie, you're talking about the Gracie family?
The Gracie family, yeah.
Wow, that's powerful.
And they were all, like, there's all kinds of videos that people don't know. I was actually teaching jiu-jitsu at a school before I decided that I really wanted to be a teacher and open a dojo. And they were like, all this breathing stuff, you know, a lot of the students are having a hard time with it. And I was like, too bad. Too bad.
So, yeah, that's it.
The breath work is the invisible jujitsu. Mm-hmm. That's where the power comes from. That's where the calmness comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we'll eventually get on here and we'll probably have a whole episode on breathing and how what it does for us.
I think we need to keep talking about it. I don't think it's just one episode. Like,
absolutely.
For me, when I came across breath work in 2016 and I was learning just about how to anatomically take a correct breath.
Right.
And then getting breath awareness around how am I breathing hour to hour. One of the most profound things that allowed my anxious kind of where I was always my mindset, always go. And until I had that breath awareness to where I quite literally set an alarm every hour on the hour and then took 10 conscious deep belly breaths.
Right. Right.
I didn't realize how much of like what I thought was normal wasn't normal.
Right.
You know, and how. My energy would, when I was too focused on a task, my breathing wouldn't be lined up. And so when I learned that, that was the most profound thing I learned. And then diving into the different modalities and teachers within breath work, I've studied Stig Severinsen, Dan Brule, Niraj with Soma breath work. Stans Grof, who I think is the most important thinker in breath work,
right,
probably in the last 100, 200 years. And you know, from the aspects of controlling your breath in physical competition to,
right,
to hyper-focus or to getting into the flow state to healing, you know, healing your body through breath,
down to
holding your breath and being able to move stem cells through your body through breath holds.
Right.
What else? Healing or pulling out trauma that happened throughout your life through holotropic breath work.
Yep.
You know, that's been some of the most profound experience I've had. Super psychedelic, out of this world, non-ordinary states through breathing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm a huge advocate for breath work. And so, yeah, I think we need to keep touching on it because it's so important.
Well, I have a thought, a quote that is, in principle, breath work is science, mm-hmm, but in practice, it's an art, which is what you're talking about when you get to those places and being able to play with retention. And, mm-hmm, you know, and then I also think it's important to talk about, there's so much information out there that, you know, if you have trauma or you have depression or you have anxiety, people are talking about this box breathing and breathing, mm-hmm, in and holding it and then breathing out and having a pause. And you need to know that, like, if you're dealing with emotional issues, retention is not for you. Like, mm-hmm, the exhale is for you, mm-hmm, right? And, like, so sometimes when this information gets mass,
right,
thrown out and they're doing workshops for 100 people over the internet, you know, it's like, well, the guy that has PTSD probably shouldn't be doing retention.
Right.
And so, like, I think all those conversations are, mm-hmm, going to be really awesome. And I've had a few people that have been breath experts around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, let's just jump in the ice bath and see how you do.
How do you breathe, you know, in the cold, right?
Okay, so let's also, like, let's see how long you can hold your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go underwater and let's play with this. And I was like, if you can't do something, you shouldn't be teaching it.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? 100%. And I think there's a lot of people that have a logic,
mm-hmm,
but can't implement it, that, mm-hmm, are teaching, then I think there's a lot of people that can implement it and teach it.
Yep.
And I think it's fascinating because the consciousness of breath is blowing up. Mm-hmm. And I think so something that's interesting is the word spirit and breath were the same word in the Hebrew language.
Mm-hmm.
So when people talk spirituality or spirit, it's like, well, maybe it
was that spiritus?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No,
I don't know the Hebrew language.
Or is it spiritu?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I've read that somewhere though.
It went away a long time ago, so I don't speak Hebrew, but I just picked it up somewhere.
Hold on, let me dust off my Hebrew.
Yeah, it's like when people are like, oh, let's do the Sanskrit stuff. I'm like, you know that language has got erased, right? So
That's powerful. It's definitely powerful. And the way that I break it down, and we can move on from the topic, but just to break down how important breath work is, it's like I built like a column and I created an actual graphic where it has like the four pillars of life, which is mindset, you know, emotion, or so mentality, emotionality, spirituality, and physicality. And within those are subsets or whatever. But on top of those pillars, the foundation of that is breath work.
Right.
Because breath work can, even from physical intimacy, when you're in an intimate container with your partner.
Absolutely.
There's so much implications that go into everything, and it's breath work.
Absolutely.
And it's how you breathe.
Yeah, and if you don't breathe for 5 minutes, you're dead. That's how important it is. You know what I mean? And they can...
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it can elevate every aspect of your life. And I think that there's two things that can help people heal most of their elements in their life: learning to breathe and learning to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as you talk about the pillars, I think the three treasures of life are breath and movement, nutrition, and sex.
Mm-hmm.
If you can master those three things, you can live a long, healthy life,
mm-hmm,
you know?
And we're not talking about personal development if we're not talking about sexuality and sex. So.
For sure. Absolutely. We had a conversation yesterday. I'm like, so many people, their sexual relationships are trapped in their head. It, mm-hmm, needs to be in their bodies,
mm-hmm,
you know? And it's like part of the reason that people can't get in their bodies is because they have a perversion with sexuality in the mind,
mm-hmm,
you know? And these are things that we're going to have to help people with, that I do help people with all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, That's got to go away. Stop, mm-hmm, looking everywhere for that. Find yourself and you'll attract it.
100%.
You know, so I think that, you know, breath is going to be one of those things. Emotions.
Yep.
you know.
What's your relationship with pleasure, with sex, with all that stuff, right?
Pleasure versus addiction, all the stuff we're going to get into, you know, in these later episodes of Adaptive Alphas. So we had an idea today. Me and Josh, we've been doing these shirts too. I really like this one, right? The Adaptive Alphas. And on the intros, you guys kind of heard us. I didn't have the best relationship with the word alpha, because it was, I don't, you know, everybody trying to compete to be better than somebody else or tougher than somebody else. I lived in that world and I got over it. And I never, everybody like, oh, we're all alphas. And I'm like, huh? Like, no, we're not. But the Adaptive Alpha is, you know, very much for us, becoming the best version of yourself you can be for yourself. Yourself as a husband, if you're a husband or a mate, and then also to just, you know, also be a good father, a good mother, and everybody. You're the alpha in the room, and I'm the alpha in the room, because you take care of your significant other and you take care of your family, and that's the goal for me to do mine. And anybody that's doing that can be an alpha in the way of nature. The natural alpha is the breeder and protector and provider for the family.
And if you can't wrap your head around that, then just substitute alpha for leader.
Absolutely.
Adaptive leader. Yeah. Substitute alpha or leader if you don't like that.
Yeah, or patriarch. Matriarch, right? Matriarch,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that, we can both briefly speak on our partners, but my significant other, my fiance Shelly, is an alpha in her world. You know, she's a leader in her world. She's a trailblazer in her world. And that is one of the most attractive things, and why, you know, why we were so close, was because we could relate to one another. Yeah, she's an alpha.
Right.
I have no problem saying that.
Right. And that might, some people might be like, what do you mean she's an alpha?
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that stems from either or thinking, which is a trap that I've realized that we don't have to participate in. We don't have to participate in either you're an alpha or I'm an alpha, but we can't both be alphas. Either you're a leader or I'm a leader. We can't both co-lead. And it's like, no. That's not life. They're collaboration, teamwork, community, tribe. If you think you made it to whatever sort of achievement you got to and you did it by yourself, then you are a narcissist or yourself. Like, I don't want anything to do with you, because that's not reality.
Absolutely.
We need other people. We need to co-collaborate.
Sure.
So.
Well, too, you know, like, me and my wife, Emma, got married 6 months ago. You know, we met each other. We fell in love. We were like, we're not doing this the way everybody else does it. We're doing it our way.
Right.
And ever since that she showed up in my life, I've cared more. Mm-hmm. And I've cared more to do the things that I'm doing, you know. But Emma in herself, I mean, she was a Big Ten champ. She was a captain of the Michigan gymnastic team. She is also, you know, out here getting ready to, like, organize her preschool gymnastics and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just having her as my partner, you know, now we have a little girl on the way. And she has added so much to my life that I wouldn't even be doing right now. And I always tell her, listen, I got a few more years and then I'm done. Like, honey, I want to support you to be able to go and, you know, change gymnastics in whatever way you want. You know, I have no problem getting behind her and helping push her forward, you know, and vice versa. She does the same for me. And sometimes, you know, I have to be the protector, and sometimes she's the one that's leading us. And I think that's a beautiful marriage, you know, and partnership.
100%.
So
100%.
You know, we're kind of like partners and collaborating on Adaptive Alphas and what we want to do with it, with workshops and things like that. And Josh came to me the other day, and first shirt he showed me was the Adaptive Alphas and the logo. And he's
that looks good on you, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I like the baseball style.
Yeah.
I took it right off his back. So, and then Josh has sent this to me, and it's Wolves Among Sheep. And I was like, you know, I don't love it. And Josh is like, I like it.
Yeah.
You know, and in fact,
I actually made the pre-context, and I was like, I don't even have to ask him, but I'm going to, you know, ask him just because I want him to participate in this. But I loved it so much. And I was like, oh, he's going to love it too. I ordered samples of it and everything, you know,
which is part of the expectation. And then also us in a partnership,
right.
Me and Josh, we are very, very different,
and
we understand that. We have a lot of similarities, too. We have the same vision, but getting to that vision might be very different, right?
Yeah.
Which is, Josh gets things done I would never get done. And I say things or maybe do things in a way that you're like, oh, actually, I like that.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And so we have a good partnership in that way. And what else I like about us is we don't always agree. And we can be like, well, I don't know about it. And then it creates a nice little debate.
Right.
So I said I don't really like it, and this is why. Because I don't necessarily like the term sheep for humans. For one, I don't want to talk down to anybody. I would like to be more of the Christ thought of fishermen of men, right? Like, if they don't know, then I want to bring them, right? And the wolves among sheep, in a sense, if I wore that, I already think people think I probably have a pretty big ego and an aggressive male, you know? So I don't know that I need to, like...
Which you're not, but that's our first perception.
100%, right? As it being as an ultimate fighter, and these kind of things. So I'm like, I like a little softer sell for me, right? Like, and so my thing was, I didn't want people to think I was calling them a sheep. And and we'll get into this too after your thought, but... Also, my thought is, like, aren't we all sheep? Are we not all paying taxes? Are we not all governed by men that we're not sure that they should be leading us anyway? So my thought is, like, well, how do I break away from this pack? How do I create freedom for myself and all those around me? And so that's kind of like why I was saying I don't know that I love the term calling others sheep, because maybe we're just more awake. Maybe I'm not more awake.
Yeah.
You know, in the world that I'm viewing right now, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, this is a little wild. So that was kind of my thought, is like, I don't want to just, like, promote that.
You came from a really compassionate perspective. And then when we were finally able to just talk, and I was just like, hey, but, like, based off first principles, you know, who's going to read that and be like, I'm a sheep? Like, you're making fun of me, right?
Yeah.
Like, very few people are going to admit that they are in a position where they're just blindly following people or blindly following leaders. And their actions and behavior reflect that. So you don't need to, you know, they don't 100%. Need to say anything. But I'm like, based off first principles, like, who's going to be like, fuck you. Fuck that shirt.
Right.
I'm a sheep. You're a wolf. You're like you know, 100%. So that was kind of the first process of, like, that's up for debate. That's up for interpretation.
But then it becomes... Well, why wolves among sheep?
Right.
Like, what is the thought of portraying that and showing and wanting to broadcast that, like, on a t-shirt or on anything, right? Like, what is society or our community or our friends, why do they need to see wolves among sheep? What's the thought behind that?
So when I see you operate, I see you operating from a position of, you know, I'm going to get a perspective and I'm going to get a signal from other people, but it's going to be on my own path, right? I'm leading my own life. I'm the leader of my family. I'm the leader of my pack. I'm the leader of, you know, my decisions day to day.
Right.
And being a wolf among sheep is somebody who doesn't follow the pack just to follow the pack. The wolf pack has strategy, has leadership amongst itself, and then they make decisions based off not what's the best for, you know, the one singular individual, but what's the best for the pack.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think when I see this shirt, yes, it could still be taken out of context. And yes, there is a little bit of ego. I think there's an ego in everything, but I liked it. I really liked it.
Yep. Well, and I like it a lot.
Another piece of why Adaptive Alpha started. It started because we had a frank conversation with each other on the phone. And I said, look, I see a bunch of women and matriarchs and leaders in the community of, you know, women yogis and personal development or life coaches. And all these women are getting so loud and proud about, you know, their own body autonomy, which is the idea that my body, my choice. But I didn't see men who are leaders in the community, especially in, you know, in podcasts or YouTubers or whatever, because if they did, they would get banned. So they said, I would rather take money than actually, you know, share my opinion.
Right.
Right. So when we had that original conversation, we're like, okay, we need to start this to give, you know, to remind men that when other invading forces come into a nation, who is going to stop them? Is it going to be the women?
Right.
No. No, no, it's not. It's going to be the strong, you know, leader, the strong warrior. It's going to be the people who are willing to die for their beliefs.
100%.
And if you can't even get clear on the idea that, yes, other people should have their own freedom over what they put into their body, like, if you can't get clear on that simple stance of saying, nah, that's not right.
Right.
Then what the fuck you think is going to happen right. when shit gets really bad? Because that's where it's headed.
Absolutely. Right? And I think that, like, we're being herded in a dangerous direction.
Yeah.
You know, I think with being here and there being mandates and then mm-hmm. this and everybody saying, you know, like, there's a big division happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why warriorship mm-hmm. is more important than ever.
Right.
Because if we don't stand up for ourselves and we don't stand up for our families and we don't stand up for our communities, then this.
All right, guys. The next part, we're not going to be able to put on our podcast feed. That's for our private feed. And you can get access to our private feed through our membership community on Patreon. So go sign up. The minimum is, you know, there's a minimum and then there's a top tier and you'll get different things for joining the membership. But it's too hot for, you know, too hot for these
Josh platforms. Said I can't say those things on the or we'll get flagged. So now it's got to be on the back end.
Yeah. So that way our content doesn't get flagged and we don't get shut off and Spotify doesn't ban us or Apple Podcasts or whatever. So that's the content that we can't say on this podcast. So again, if you want access to that, join the membership community. You'll get access to vlogs. It's also a members only merch. So unless you're a member, you can't get access to our merchandise, which is, again, we're just trying to keep the wolf pack, tighten it. You know, people who are like-minded, trying to make some shift happen. And Josh, do you want to say anything else?
That's it. You know, we're just getting started with this. I think it's right now it's a brotherhood and a brotherhood of men who would like to make a change.
There we go. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week or we'll see you next time.